Well, this morning brings back a few memories for me just because of what I'm going to share with you in a minute. But I have to say it's my first Harvest Thanksgiving with you since I was appointed rector of this parish. For whatever reason, the last 2 years I've either been in New York or somewhere else with family. So it's great to be with you on this day. The first time I ever spoke in public was in church, and I was dressed in a suit and a bow tie, and I was standing in front of everyone, and it was too much for me, and I peed my pants. Now, mind you, I was 6 years old. I was six. And somehow, I'd been chosen from my Sunday school class of 15 kids to recite the psalm we just heard, Psalm 100, in the King James Version as part of the Christmas pageant. Why Psalm 100 at a Christmas pageant? I don't know. Who knows? But let's just say that even though I went with the flow, I did that for Dave, the theme of thankfulness in the psalm didn't register for me till much later in my life. And it was, I remember that moment as well. It was after my 30th birthday party with friends and family. And I was just off wandering about in my parents' garden and reflecting, as one does in our culture, that 30 really is the end of your youth, and that now I better start acting the part of the bona fide adult. And I remember thinking that, boy, in many ways I'm just a very ordinary person. I'm not rich, I'm not famous, I'm not beautiful. But I remember thinking, well, actually what happened was all sense of that kind of comparison just dropped away. And I remember, I'll hold it together here, Dirksen, that despite serious ailments as a child, I had a heart murmur, I had rheumatic fever, I had kidney infections, I had all kinds of things going on that were supposed to make me not make it to adulthood, that I had come through to the fortune of an interesting life. And at that moment, I remembered a quote from St. Augustine's Confessions, a book I'd read a number of times for my humanities studies at Simon Fraser. And there's a part in the Confessions where Augustine prays. I mean, the whole book is a prayer of thanks, really. But he says this, "I would still thank you, God, even if you had not willed me to live beyond boyhood. Even then I existed, I lived, and I experienced." And I was just struck by the fact that I had lived, of course, beyond boyhood, and that I was extremely fortunate. And so I said out loud, a bit weird because no one else was around in and amongst my parents' fruit trees. I guess God was, though. Well, I guess every day from now on is a bonus. It's a kind of backhanded prayer of thanks, I guess. And I know that in one way or another, many of us here have had the experience of waking up to something like that, when all comparisons just fall away and a deep gratefulness, even if nothing in particular is in view, just the fact that you exist washes over you. Since I uttered those words over half a lifetime ago now, Not every day has felt like a bonus. And if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I'm betting most of you could relate to that as well. I certainly have not, as Paul encourages us to do in one of his letters, given thanks in all circumstances, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But having the opportunity to read Psalm 100 this week and read through the powerful scene in our story from Luke stirred up these memories, but also the question, what is thankfulness from a Christian perspective? And I think Melinda kind of stole some of my thunder, but that's okay. It's good to hear things twice. Like everything else in our social media environment, gratitude has been commodified. How many of you remember when Twitter started and there was hashtag blessed? My kids used to just roar with laughter at that one, especially when they would look up some of what was under that hashtag. It's become a kind of self-help technology to help us live more chipper, optimistically, hopefully successfully. What are we told? We're told to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, right? It's like a phrase that just is supposed to solve all our problems. But as a mere technique, thanksgiving is remarkably ambiguous. There are stories, of course, in the New Testament in which people well off give thanks that they are not like the poor masses, the poor sod before them. Right now, billionaires give thanks that they are not subject to the same justice as the rest of us. Right now, tyrants give thanks that they presume, control their own futures by violently oppressing their enemies. It's pretty ambiguous just to say thanks. For the rest of us, we can practice thanks as a technique all we want, but if there's no connection to meaning, to a larger purpose, are we not merely coping for a moment that flees away? Without this connection to a deeper meaning and purpose, are we not merely players on a stage? A la Shakespeare, when he has one of his characters, Jacques, say, "All the world's a stage. And all men merely players. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything." And there are, to be sure, many things we don't give thanks for. But all of that, too, comes into perspective when we turn our thanks not just to the parts we're playing in the play, if you will, not just to the players even, but toward the presence of the playwright. And this, it would seem, is what would be natural for us to do, but doesn't seem to come that naturally. As in the scene before us in our gospel reading, it's easy to criticize the nine who didn't return to give Jesus thanks for their healing. But it was Jesus who had told the 10 lepers to go to the priests to confirm their cleansing. They had all of them courageously done exactly as he said. They had gone. And as they went, they were made clean. A remarkable result. They had experienced a new beginning, a new life, when all they might have expected was sans everything. They very well might have thought, as we say, life is in the living, and now that I can live again, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep moving. Carpe diem. I'm going to seize the day. This is a new thing that's been given to me. Wouldn't my thanks be best expressed by just doing the next thing that's in front of me? And so when Jesus asks, was none found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? I don't think he's feeling hurt or disappointment as much as he's just pointing out our common human condition. To define our lives as merely a series of highlights and lowlights, this is what we do. We go, as the saying goes, from one damn thing to the next. But when we do that, we run the risk of missing the forest for the trees. We run the risk of not seeing our life whole. Sometimes we have to step off the stage. And this is what the leper does. He turns back to offer thanks, the great thanksgiving. He recognizes that life isn't just this one thing after another, but a life lived whole from, with, and for something. For, as we would say as Christians, for someone. For someone greater than just the limits we experience every day, our age, our ailments, our opportunities, our experiences, our disappointments and joys. All of this is, of course, why we Christians worship, why we call it the Eucharist, Greek for thanksgiving, the great thanksgiving. It is this greater healing, if you will, the second healing that this leper who turned back has experienced, that Jesus says comes from faith, that is possible only because of faith. It is this second healing, if you will, that allows us to participate with God, to escape the comparison trap, the hoarding trap, to escape the fact that we should just look after ourselves. It is this that enables us to share our lives with others, to join with others, to live with others, not against them. So this morning, I really know a deep gratefulness for this community, in which so many of you have chosen to step off the hamster wheel and turn back and give praise, in which many of you have opened yourself to Christ. Not just here, not just in this space, but along the road of life. And so you have found this great secret that as you enrich yourself with this deeper purpose and meaning, you have also enriched those around you, and so have enriched the world. For that, I'm deeply grateful. And feel privileged to have woken up to this again this week. May it be so in our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen.